Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
Good morning, I'm Dan Crocker, and you're listening to NPR News. Filling in today for Angela Davis, so glad you could join us today. So it is February now, when winter feels kind of like it will never end. The snow-covered ground, the icy sidewalks, sub-zero temperatures, it all might have you feeling like you want to stay inside. Maybe you're comfortable and warm right now, and the last thing on your mind is to do something active outdoors. Perhaps you're new to the Midwest and it's winters, and now you're questioning why you moved here in the first place. But even if you're not from a cold climate, you too can learn to embrace winter. It gives you an opportunity to experience nature through the coldest months of the year. It's good for your mental and physical health. It can be as thrilling as plunging into cold water or climbing up an ice-covered cliff, but there are also experiences that embrace the stillness and the peacefulness of winter. Today, we're going to talk about how you can enjoy Minnesota's cold winters. Joining me are three NPR News reporters who will share their stories from their new-to-them winter pastime activity from our Winter Play series. I also have two guests who will be joining me in a couple minutes to talk about their efforts to get people outdoors in the wintertime and why you might want to get outside during the coldest months of the year. And we want to hear about your winter activities, too. What do you like to do outdoors during the winter season? What benefits do you get from being outside when it's cold? And what is on your winter activity bucket list? Tell us what you've always wanted to do. The phone lines are open. Call us at 651-227-6000 or 800-242-2828. You can tweet me at Dan_Crocker. That's K-R-A-K-E-R. We're going to start our conversation with NPR's Kirsty Marone and Amy Felagy. Regina Medina is going to join us a little later in the program. Kirsty Marone is a correspondent for NPR News. She's based in central Minnesota. Kirsty, thanks so much for being with us today.
Hi, Dan. It's good to be here.
Hey, and Amy Felagy, she's an associate digital producer with NPR News based up in Moorhead. Amy, welcome.
Good morning.
So, Kirsty, I want to start with you. Your story on fat tire biking just aired earlier this week. And I know this was your first time taking a fat tire bike ride. So tell us about it. What was it like?
You know, it was a really fun experience and, you know, not really what I expected. The day we went, it was really beautiful out. There was bright sunshine. There'd been a lot of snow previously in the week before. So it sort of blanketed the trees. And we were on this trail that kind of wound through a forest and past frozen lakes. And it was just really peaceful and quiet, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah, is that, you said it wasn't what you expected. Was it that? Was it the solitude of it?
Yeah, you know, and I think I thought it would be a little more scary. I think I was picturing more like mountain biking. And this was, it was different. I mean, it was just really smooth riding. You're on this bike with, you know, fat tires, quite a bit wider than a mountain bike. They're about 4 inches wide. So that really gives you more traction. The tires have these little metal studs in them. And you kind of just float down the trail because you keep the tire pressure pretty low in those tires. And the trails are groomed, so they're actually pretty smooth. And it was a lot smoother than a mountain biking over a rough trail.
Cool. Well, we have some audio, Kirsty, of you riding your bike. So let's take a listen.
The trees are all covered with snow. It's just really beautiful. The edges of the trail are really soft, so you really want to stay in the middle. If you get too far off to the edge, you kind of sink down.
So where was this, Kirsty? Where'd you go?
We went to Cuyuna Country State Recreation Area. That's near Crosby, east of Brainerd. And, you know, it's just one of the best places in Minnesota for mountain biking or fat tire biking. They have about 40 miles of trails that they groom in the winter for biking. And it's just, it's really nice.
So I know you bike during the summer, Kirsty. And you said it wasn't as scary as you thought, but was it challenging? Was it hard?
Yeah, you can kind of hear me breathing heavily there in that audio. You know, it's definitely a workout, but I was able to keep up with the group, and they were definitely more experienced than I was. You really don't need to be a super athlete. Like I said, it's kind of smoother riding, and you're not riding very fast either. And I think those wider tires, you know, really make it easier. I did learn that it is important to stay in the middle of the trail where the snow is groomed and packed, because the edges do get pretty soft.
Well, we actually have a recording that speaks to that, so let's listen again.
Okay, so passing is not a good idea. I love it. A snow angel.
So, Kirsty, describe what happened there.
Yeah, so we had come up upon a slower rider, and I was getting kind of confident at that point, and I thought, oh, I can just kind of squeeze past her, and got too close to the edge, and my bike just sort of sunk down into the snow, that's the snow angel that I made, the imprint in the snow. But, you know, it didn't hurt at all. It's very soft, and we all just kind of laughed and got up and kept going.
I love it. Amy, I want to hop to you now. So you picked an adventure a little bit more chill than fat bike, fat tire riding. You went bird watching for your winter play story. So tell us about it. What did you do?
Yes, I chose an activity that would not threaten my life, unlike Dan's ice climbing and Regina's activity that we'll get to later. No thanks. So I was bird watching or birding for 3 hours at Forest River Park in Fargo, which is just across the river from Moorhead, Minnesota, in northwest Minnesota. And I was birding for 3 hours, and I think I saw the same number of birds.
You mean you saw three birds in 3 hours?
Yeah. I set out to prove that bird watching or birding isn't boring. And honestly, I was right and wrong. So yes, it's exciting to find that first bird, and mine was a brown creeper, but also embrace the boring. You know, we live in such a hurried world, so I got to bask in some birding, some stillness. I got to stop for a while and listen, look at some snowy trees like Kirsty did, and listen to the birds singing for you. It's a beautiful thing.
Awesome. Amy, let's listen to some sound that you captured when you were out in the field in Fargo. Amy, describe what we're hearing here, and kind of paint a picture for us. Tell us what you're seeing.
Well, disclaimer: I have no idea what bird calls those are. It was my first time ever birding. I could hear a ton of birds. I couldn't necessarily see them. I don't have 20/20. So, if any listeners are privy to that sound, learn me up, seriously. But we were in this park that's actually designated as an important bird area by the National Audubon Society and BirdLife International. So it was very clear that we were in a bird's space. It was this nice little loop, took us around about half an hour. We went several times trying to find more birds. Hearing our boots crunch on the snow, listening for birds, basking in the sun. It was surprisingly not a windy day. Fargo's claim to fame is the wind, so we got to escape that for a day, which was nice.
So you didn't see a ton of birds. Did you enjoy it? Did you have a good time?
Oh, I absolutely did. Yeah. I would have stayed out there longer, but I wore gloves that were perfect for changing the focus on my binoculars, but not necessarily keeping my fingers warm. So yeah, I loved it. It was nice to just kind of slow down. And, you know, we have such a stressful job sometimes, just looking at 100 different things at once. It was nice to get out and enjoy this place that is actually a new home for me as well.
Yeah. So you think you'll do it again?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I bought a $60 pair of binoculars. I got to make some use out of them.
Absolutely. You got to go out again. Maybe see some more birds next time.
Hopefully.
Kirsty, what about you? Do you think you're going to try fat biking again?
Yeah, I would really love to. I mean, this group I went out with, and there's these groups all over the state, you know, that ride together. They were super encouraging and supportive. And I think it's really a nice to go out with a group like that. They can kind of show you the ropes. And they invited me to come back with them, and I definitely want to. We rented bikes. So, you know, you don't need to invest a ton of money up front. And a lot of times these bike shops will do group rides or, you know, offer special rates. So I definitely want to go back.
Yeah. And Kirsty, before I let you go, I want to put you on the spot here because it was actually you who conceived of the idea of this winter play series several months ago. And I'm curious, could you explain why, you know, kind of the inspiration behind it, why you pitched it to our editors?
Yeah, you know, we'd been covering just a lot of really serious news lately. And, you know, of course, that's really important. That's what we do. But I think we all were feeling like we needed to do something that would be kind of fun and maybe bring the audience along with us as we tried these new things or new to us. And it was also a really great chance to experiment with different ways of doing that. So, you know, different ways of recording audio and video. We wore GoPro cameras, and we really wanted to give our readers and listeners a sense of, you know, that they were actually there with us experiencing this. And then also maybe encourage people to try something that they'd never done before, you know, like, hey, I survived this. Wasn't that bad. You can do it too. So we really tried to pick a variety of activities, you know, some that weren't very expensive or that are accessible to anybody. You don't need to have superhuman athletic skills.
Well, I appreciate you coming up with the idea. So thank you. That's Kirsty Marone. She's a correspondent for NPR News. She's based in central Minnesota. Also joining us was Amy Fallagy. She's an associate digital producer with NPR News based in Moorhead. Hey, thanks to you both for being on the show.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks.
All right. So we are talking about winter activities. We just heard about fat tire biking. We heard about birding. But what do you like to do outdoors during the winter season? Give me a shout, 651-227-6000. Tell me about the benefits you get from being outside when it's cold. Maybe it's something that's on your winter activity bucket list that you haven't had a chance to do yet. Give us a call, 800-242-2828. I want to bring our other guests into the conversation now. We have with us here in Duluth, Randy Carlson, who is a snow kiting co-coordinator at the University of Minnesota Duluth Recreational Sports Outdoor Program. Randy, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dan. Thank you.
Absolutely. Also with us, Claire Wilson. She's executive director of the Lopit Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that works to connect people to the outdoors through experiences that grow community. Claire, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Yay, winter.
Yay, winter, right? We've got to celebrate it if we have to deal with it for months. That's what I say. Randy, I want to go to you first. I got to say, you must have the coolest job title in Duluth, if not the entire state. So tell us what it is you do. What exactly is snow kiting for those who are not in the know?
Well, my job title evolved over four decades, working with UMD's Recreational Sports Outdoor Program, which is a division of student life. Mm-hmm. And, I've had the opportunity to teach people on rivers and in the wintertime, the snow kiting involves alpine skis or snowboards and a kite that will pull you along across a snow-covered lake.
Well, paint a picture. Describe what it's like when you're doing this. It sounds a little crazy and fun and exciting. What's it like?
Yeah, this activity is quite the opposite of hiding from the wind. We're riding the wind, and these kites can pull you on your alpine skis or snowboard anywhere from 5 to 40 plus miles an hour if you want to go that fast. And it's much like sailing. You're on crosswind reaches. And in the wintertime, you know, it's a remarkably quiet sport. Hmm. In soft snow, with the kite pulling you, you make very little sound, and that feeling of of glide, weightlessness, acceleration is really satisfying, and people pursue the best windy days and get out there with this equipment.
Yeah, Randy, I heard that you just had a student maybe last week who sort of described that experience of once they had sort of the equipment figured out and were out there doing it, just kind of getting lost in the moment. Could you talk a little bit about that? I mean, is that kind of what you go for when you're out there?
Yeah, well, being a college student can be pretty stressful, and having opportunities to exercise out in nature is really healthy physically and mentally. And this is a difficult sport. You have to bring your alpine ski or snowboard skills in sync with piloting a kite. And after about 8 hours of practice, and you crash the kite when you're learning, she was free riding and things started to come together, and she described it as everything disappeared. So for a student to have 100% focus on what they're doing and enjoying that moment is worth the effort to get there.
We're talking today about winter play, getting outside during the winter, the benefits of doing that, the challenges to doing it too. Give us a call, share your experiences, tell us what you like to do in the winter, the benefits you derive from it, 651-227-6000 or 800-242-2828. Let's go to the phones. We have a caller on the line. June from Jackson is with us. June, thanks so much for calling in. What did you have to say?
Well, many of your listeners are over the age of 60 and love to walk, but in the winter, it is treacherous. So what can you recommend for those of us who are at risk for fall and osteoporotic fracture? What can you recommend that we do?
That's a great question, and I wanted to, Claire, I'll throw that to you. I'll put you on the spot. Do you have any recommendations for June there on how to stay safe? Because she's right. I mean, we've all experienced it in this winter, especially that it can be slippery out there.
Oh, absolutely, June. We hear this all the time, and I would say there's a couple of things we recommend. I mean, one of course is getting some yak tracks or cleats for your boots that will help stabilize you. As well as, cross-country ski poles or short poles that can help folks keep their balance. But quite honestly, in years like this where the snow is so wonderful, going out with poles and a pair of snowshoes, or, we have many, many folks who visit us and learn to cross-country ski, even after the age of 60, absolutely, because it is a gentle, lifelong sport. So there are lots of ways to get out and enjoy it and be safe.
It might even be safer to get off the sidewalks, Claire, and
absolutely.
Get it
with all this, fluffy snow.
Because then if you do fall, it might not hurt so bad. Claire, I'm so glad you're with us. You are, of course, with the Lopit Foundation, which is based at Theodore Worth Park, right?
That's right. We are a year-round organization, but our jam and our joy is winter. And we operate, yes, out of Theodore Worth, which, for those who aren't familiar, is a wilderness area the size of Central Park, right in the heart of Minneapolis. So you can come visit us at the trailhead, and you can rent skis, snowshoes, fat tire bikes. We have tubing. We have snowboarding. And, of course, we're known for grooming miles and miles of world-class cross-country ski trails that connect the city. But, of course, our biggest driver is just to create the most welcoming and inclusive and joyful environment for people to experience the winter in the heart of the city.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit more about that? I mean, I'm really interested in talking sort of about access and opportunity in this conversation. Especially in the winter, a lot of outdoor activities can be, can be seen as being a pretty white space, to be honest, can be seen as pretty intimidating. Often they require some expertise, some equipment, can be pretty expensive sometimes. Well, first of all, I guess, do you agree with that? And then what are you doing to try to break down some of those barriers?
I absolutely agree with that. And, there are many, many things that contribute to the fact that white dominant outdoor spaces can feel not only unwelcoming, but quite honestly, historically, outdoor spaces have been hostile for folks of color. And so we have been working very closely with leaders in the outdoor industry who are promoting access and equity, like Asha Schaffner at BIPOC Outdoors and Anthony Taylor and Linnea with Melanin in Motion, Monica Bryan with the Urban Bird Collective. And we really believe that engaging and partnering with community helps to break down that white dominant atmosphere that creates an environment in which people don't feel welcome to participate in these sports. And that's, you know, that's systemic racism at play. And so, sure, there's lots of barriers, but the biggest barrier is, you know, dismantling that systemic racism in outdoor spaces. So we do that in a variety of ways, both by promoting programming and safe spaces for folks to be, but also just by being very open to welcoming to beginners and all folks, and to create a really diverse community around winter sports, which we are uniquely positioned to do because we are in a park that bridges the entire city.
In a state that has received a lot of snow this winter, lots of snow to play on. If you're just joining the conversation, we're talking about winter play in this hour. We're running a series of stories over the next couple of weeks with NPR News about winter play and trying out new activities in the winter. We'd love to have you join the conversation. Tell us about what you do to get outdoors and the benefits you derive from doing that. Give us a call, 800-242-2828 or 651-227-6000. Let's go back to the phones. Paul is with us from Fargo. Paul, thanks for joining. What'd you have to share?
I'm a cross-country ski buff. You know the type. I get on some days, on the lazy days, I'll just go and ski around the lake perfectly flat. Some days I'll get really wild-haired and ski up into the hills and up the hills and down the hills. And that's a challenge. And for what it's worth, cross-country skiing is the highest calorie-burning exercise there is. So I use it to keep in shape and just, just getting out in nature and just enjoying it.
Paul, thank you so much for calling. Stay with me for a sec because I am also a cross-country skier. I often joke to people, and I don't even know if it's a joke, that I don't know if I could handle Duluth's 6-month-long winters if I didn't ski and didn't get outside. I mean, what's the experience like for you when you're out there skiing? What is it that you like to, why is it that you like to do it so much?
Well, one thing, like I say, it's an exercise, and it's kind of a unique exercise, and like I say, it's the highest calorie burner. My excuse to get out in the snow, I love it in the snow. I'm one of the weirdos who, when it gets down to 40 below, I'm just having a blast out there. And it's enjoyable. And you really feel like you're accomplishing something because you're, like I say, getting exercise and just enjoyable, especially getting up into the hills and so on. So I really like it.
Excellent. Paul, thanks so much for calling. Really appreciate you sharing your experiences with us. Let's go to another caller. We have Richie from Minnetonka who is joining us. Richie, you're a broomball player, huh?
Well, in quotes, yeah. That's the reason I'm calling in because, I had never done it. I'm middle-aged. And a parent at our kid's school invited me to come play one time. They have extra stuff. It's kind of friendly, like pickleball had been known to be. Sort of a welcoming sport. A lot of people who play oftentimes need more players, and they'll add you to a mailing list. So it's pretty open and welcoming. And I went probably about 7 years ago, 6-7 years ago, and I absolutely loved it. Didn't require a lot of equipment. It wasn't super expensive. I used their equipment the first couple times and went to play it again and got a used stick and some broomball shoes. And it's outside on an ice rink. You don't have to know how to skate or buy all the expensive hockey equipment. And it's beautiful, especially when it's snowing.
That's awesome. Hey, Richie, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that experience. And you brought up something I wanted to talk about, and I might throw this to our guests, and maybe Randy can weigh in on this. But, I was reflecting on, for this winter play series we did here at NPR News, we all tried out an activity we had never tried before. And I went ice climbing for the first time. And it's you got to put yourself out there. And it's hard to try an activity that you've never tried before. It can be a little humbling. And Randy, I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, is that part of what you see in terms of the value of getting outdoors and trying stuff is just sort of, you know, getting out of your comfort zone a little bit and trying some of these activities that might seem a little crazy, but once you get into them can be pretty rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely. The reward is there. You don't have to be certain of every move that you make. There's people that can help you develop skills and knowledge. And if you bring a steady approach, humble and alert, you can accomplish some pretty interesting things. And it's nice to take past knowledge and add to it. So it allows you to explore more places and meet more people.
Claire, I wanted to ask you, I imagine you deal with folks who don't have a lot of experience outdoors. I mean, what are some words of advice you might have to folks who might have a little little trepidation, a little anxiety about getting outside and doing some of this stuff?
I would say that, you know, what we have learned is that when we're providing instruction, whether it's in the schools, right, we have programs in the schools teaching kids to cross-country ski, or whether it's people coming to learn how to fat tire bike or how to snowshoe or tube or snowboard or cross-country ski, it's really just reminding folks that if you dress appropriately, which is, you know, just making sure that you're warm, these activities get you moving. And so, you know, the cold is not a barrier. Once you're out there and moving, you will warm up very quickly. And all of these sports, like what Paul was saying, I mean, once you start cross-country skiing, it is a total game changer for the winter, because you get out there, you're not afraid of it, your anxiety decreases tenfold. And really, I just tell folks who it's their first step to just, you know, bundle up, get out there, and just know that, you know, snow is our superpower in Minnesota. If you live in Florida, you go to the beach. Here, you better get in the snow.
The cold is a state of mind, right, Claire? At least that's what they say.
Hey, I'm from Louisiana, so I moved here for the snow.
Well, if you can do it, we all can do it then. Let's. I want to go back to the phones real quick here before we have to take a break for news. Let's go to Anthony, who's called in from Minneapolis. Hey, Anthony, thanks for holding on. What do you want to share?
I want to share one. Claire is a superhero in my neighborhood.
Awesome.
Hi, Claire. And but more importantly, I think that one of the things we can do with all of the outdoor, particularly winter outdoor sports, is really don't treat them like sports. Like, let people know that these are actually opportunities for people to connect more deeply to themselves, that they're opportunities for us to connect to and build community. And all of these sports was wonderful, and I got involved, you know, less than 10 years ago, is that it's something that we actually get better with as we do it more. It is not grounded in our old connections around sport and athleticism and all the judgment that people bring to this. These are really opportunities to learn something new that's progressive, that you get better at, and that we build community and do it together. And it is, and connecting to outdoors in the way that we can do it in Minnesota with the unique opportunities that winter offers is really important to our well-being and our humanity. And I think when we put them in those frames, we start to attract people who are looking for wellness, not sports. And so much of what Claire's work is really connecting people deeply to opportunities around outdoors to find themselves, to connect to their families. And so I love that about what we can do in winter and with all the winter sports.
So, Anthony, real quick, what's your jam in the winter? What do you like to get out and do?
You know, I love to get out with people that are starting. So I ski and I fat bike. Fat biking is what I probably love most, but I have learned a lot about getting outdoors and doing winter camping. It's been really an amazing last few years of winter camping and learning to connect families to winter camping in Ely and what that means. And so it's really been beautiful to just have those new experiences.
Hey, Anthony, really appreciate you calling in and sharing your perspective. We've got a lot of people on the line, and I want you to hold on, please. Appreciate your patience. I want to hear from you. But first, I want to go to Regina Medina, because you're going to want to hear this story. She is Regina is an NPR news correspondent for the Race, Class, and Communities reporting team. Hey, Regina, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So our listeners may not know this yet, because your story isn't going to air until Monday during All Things Considered. But you went ice dipping, ice swimming for the first time in your life recently. So I got to hear about this. Tell me about it.
Well, Elizabeth Shockman, who also works here as an education reporter, she invited me. And I had wanted to do dipping into very cold water, but I had wanted to do that with a sauna and go back and forth. But this sauna was not part of it. So I said I'd still go. And we went, and I went in, and it was kind of a surreal experience because I felt the cold, but it wasn't bothering me. And I had to have my hands up. So in the pictures, it looks like Elizabeth and I are hostages. that's what her term was. And excuse me. But I think when I got out, you know, I was dripping, and you know, it was crazy because they basically we turned for advice from this Facebook group that dips into Lake Harriet. And the two women had advised us about exit strategies once we got out. They told us that even though we'd get out and we'd feel fine, that our body's temperatures would continue to go down, our core's temperature would continue to go down. So we had to get to the car ASAP. So they told me to lay the robe that I was going to wear after I got out, out, and put my car keys in the pocket so that I would just sprint back to my car, which is what I did. And so it took a while for me to warm up. I was probably there for half an hour with my car on, just trying to feel normal again, I guess, or warm again.
Yeah. Hey, Regina, I know your story hasn't aired yet, but we actually have a little bit of sound from your experience that we wanted to share with our listeners.
Yeah, slow. Out your mouth.
Do you know when I got
it feels
in?
Like needles on my leg.
You're doing really well, Regina.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. In the nose.
It just feels really cold.
You feel cold.
Like super cold. Like you can't get colder than what I'm in right now.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't wait to tell everybody that I'm doing this.
Her energy is amazing.
And my nose is running.
Amazing.
So I'm sorry to the audience.
Regina, you're like,
I told a friend of mine in Philly last night, and he just was like impressed. So I feel very proud of myself right now. Okay, my feet are starting to get really cold, so I am going to go out now because the feet started.
Hold on.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it, I got it.
Okay, you're going to hold me, right? Because I'm always afraid.
I got the ladder, Nicole. I got the ladder.
You got it.
That's amazing.
Oh, boy.
Wow, that sounded, I could hear how cold it was. So was this like a whole cut in the ice that you jumped in or what?
Yep. No jumping. We stepped our way into it. There's a ladder in the water. Every morning or every day, I should say, I don't know what time they get there. These women who ice dip, they will break the ice with some sort of broom or a rake, like a leaf rake, and they'll break the ice. Because overnight it will freeze. And so it's on Lake Harriet in, like I said, in Minneapolis, and you have to walk to it, which is like all ice and snow. And I feel like it was more of a mental activity mm-hmm. in terms of the panic beforehand, because I was very excited about doing it. And then when I got to the lake, it became real. And I just got nervous, and I believe Elizabeth was also nervous. And we just were like talking about it, and then we had to prepare our exit strategy. We had to put on shoes. I was layered up the wazoo. I had swim leggings on, three layers on top, and we she got in first. I came in second. but she left after about 30 or 45 seconds. And I stayed there saying those things. And I will say, again, about the mental aspect of this,
yeah.
is that, like, that day, I was so confident. I felt I was making all the right decisions I needed to make that day. I was focused, and I just kept, like, patting myself on the back mentally. I just was a super confident person that day. And I did it, you know, it was that challenge that you talked about. And yeah. I challenged myself and I went through with it. So I was happy.
Well, Regina, I cannot wait to hear your story on Monday. And I'm so glad you joined us on the show. Thanks so much for being with us.
No problem. Thank you.
That's Regina Medina. She's a NPR News correspondent for our Race, Class, and Communities reporting team. And we're going to get to callers here in just a second. But first, I wanted to go to Randy Carlson here at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Randy, because I know you can probably relate to Regina's story, because I know you're a surfer in Lake Superior in often quite frigid waters. What did you hear in her talking about that you can relate to? I mean, is there something that you like about getting into that frigid water?
Well, I do enjoy surfing on Lake Superior, but Regina's courage maybe extends beyond mine. I have a 6'5" hooded wetsuit on and 7mm booties and mitts, so I don't get it cold. And so that exit strategy, and when she talks about just preparing and learning from the experience,
yeah,
I think that is the reward. And you could be an expert Lake Superior surfer or an expert ice dipper. We have so many good options to choose from around here. It's pretty special.
Absolutely. I want to go back to the phones now. We have a lot of folks waiting to get on. Jane is here from Duluth. Jane, I appreciate your patience. What did you want to share?
No problem. Well, I can no longer walk on the, I live outside of Duluth, and mm-hmm. there's no safe place to walk my dogs and myself because I have some, you know, medical issues. I walk every day when I can, but I can't do it since the big snows come. So when my driveway gets plowed out, I take a empty milk jug, any jug will do, and it's canine broom ball, and it's hysterical. Because the dogs love the sound of that empty jug. I just whack it down up the driveway in front of the garage, and they chase after it. They run into each other. They fight over it. I pick it up. I drop it down, hockey puck drop, and they chase it. And, you know, I get 45 minutes of exercise with them and me, and I don't have to leave my yard. And I've even trained one of my dogs when he's misbehaving. I said, go to the penalty box, and he runs up a snowbank. So the kids, sometimes the neighbor kids come over with their hockey sticks and they complain because they can't outrun the dogs. It's just, I had to do something to get them exercised because it's just not fair with these cold days to not get them outside. And that's the only way I can exercise them. And if your dog likes to chase or catch a ball, they'll do it. It's just innate in them to chase something that's moving. So anybody can do it if they have a plowed out driveway.
Jane, I love the creativity, and I'm so glad you called in to share that with us. We've got a lot of other callers waiting. If you want to get in on this conversation, give us a call at 651-227-6000. We're talking about getting outside and enjoying Minnesota winters. Let's go next to Marilyn in Minneapolis. Marilyn, thank you so much for waiting. What do you want to share with us?
I wanted to share, in 2021, I needed a vacation, so I signed up for ski lessons with Three Rivers Park at Highland Lake. And I hadn't cross-country skied for a long time, so the lessons were great. It was a super opportunity to meet new people and get some new pointers. I took beginner and then advanced to intermediate, and
nice.
They make snow at Highland. So it's just a wonderful opportunity so close in the Twin Cities. The only problem is I haven't gone skiing this season, so something's keeping me back from going, but hopefully
what
we have six more weeks. The cold.
What's holding you back?
I do a lot of walking, but I just wasn't in the mood to go out skiing again this year, but I'm sure I'll get out before the snow melts.
Awesome. Hey, Marilyn, as a skier myself, I encourage you to get out there. Once you get moving, you get warm.
I know. Oh, and thanks for mentioning that, Dan, because I'm a person who gets coldish, and I think a lot of people really benefit from those hand warmers you can buy at REI. They're those packets. Maybe Randy or you can explain how they work, but they you activate them with heat, and you can put them in your gloves if your hands get nippy or in your boots, and they're really a big help for those of us who aren't super warm-blooded.
Randy, did you want to chime in on that? I use those hand warmers when I get cold. Are those pretty helpful?
Yeah, they work if you keep them dry. You know, they'll last for hours. You know, if you start with warm hands and feet, that's a big factor. I know with Lake Superior Surfing, I carry a jug of hot water, and I'll pour it in my booties and mitts before I get into the lake. And so then I just last a lot longer. But yes, you know, just tracking the temperature and snow condition and bringing a little extra equipment to adapt to what's happening out there in nature, it makes it much more enjoyable if you're prepared.
Let's go back to the phones again. We've got Wayne on the line. Wayne, you have been very patient as well. I appreciate it. Thanks for holding on. What do you want to share?
Yes, I work with an environmental learning center, Agassiz Environmental Learning Center in Fertile, Minnesota, and we're doing a winter fest this weekend to encourage people to get out for free skis and snowshoes and do some snow snakes competitions and such. But the main thing, we get school kids outdoors, and we have some kids through the No Child Left Inside programs with the DNR, and they are with wheelchairs. And how do your guests approach trying to get kids or trying to get everybody connected to nature, so that accessibility issue when you have people with disabilities, to try to get them outdoors as well? Any tips?
That's a great question. Claire, I'm going to throw this to you. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes. Thanks, Wayne, so much for bringing that up, because accessibility is definitely something that we think and talk a lot about, especially around snow sports. So at the Lopit, we partner with Courage Kinney and offer adaptive skiing lessons on Tuesday nights. And we also have started we have a festival this weekend as well in the Twin Cities, two days of skijoring, skiing, cubing, all kinds of things, mostly cross country skiing. But Wayne, so for what we have, we're partners in that as well. But in all of our cross country ski races now, we've added an adaptive wave. So we have sit skiers who ski in our races, and it's really a great way to model their joy in the activity. But sit skiing is an activity that is growing. And I think working with our partners who are working with folks to get them out, that's been incredibly helpful. We also work with folks and train folks how to be guides for people who experience visual impairment. So there's a lot of ways to get outdoors, and I encourage people to look up folks who are working with folks with disabilities or visit our website and learn more about adaptive skiing.
Excellent. Let's go back to the phones. Kathy in Minneapolis is on the line. Kathy, thanks for calling. What do you want to share?
This is great. I'll make it quick. I also have mobility issues. My outdoor activity is photography. And I still use film. I'm not a digital person. So my problem is that when I go outside, I have to carry my camera under my jacket to keep it warm. And I use film. I'm not a digital person. So I love to photograph nature. And by keeping my camera warm, I just whip it out when I'm ready to take the picture. Because if I leave my camera out in the cold all the time, the shutter sticks. And I can't advance the film. It's like it just all freezes up. So, you know, I love to get the trees when they're full of snow or frost, and animal tracks. And in the spring when the snow starts to melt, the babbling streams with snow still on the top of the stream and stuff. And just enjoy nature that way.
Kathy, thank you so much for calling. Great tips on getting outside and taking pictures. Rob is with us from St. Paul as well, who's a trail runner. Rob, thanks for calling. Rob, we lost Rob. Let's go to Rick from Excelsior. Rick, what do you want to share? Thanks for holding on.
Hi, I want to say Claire's my superhero too.
She's got a few fans.
But also to say my son, who's now 36 years old, learned to cross country and downhill ski at Theodore Worth Park, and has since gone on to be the last 5 years, he was a member of the U.S. ski mountaineering team, which is backcountry skiing in a competitive format all over the world. They ski up and down 10,000 feet, vertical feet in an event. So it's pretty amazing that he learned to do that in relatively flat Minnesota and at Theodore Worth Park.
That is amazing. Thanks for sharing that. It is amazing to see some of the athletes, of course, Jesse Diggins and others who have come out of Minnesota learning on our relatively modest hills. Let's go to Amy from White Bear Lake. Amy, what did you want to share? Thanks so much for calling in.
Yes, I wanted to say that because I'm a mother of only one child, I like to specifically use the wintertime for educational purposes for my daughter and some of her friends. So a lot of times I'll invite some of her inner city friends and we will go to like water's edge, such as like Minnehaha Falls or even the Lake Superior shores or like a river shore, to show kids the different variations that occur at different stages of winter, such as like when the falls are extremely no trickling at all, or when the wind whips across Lake Superior and you have the ice stacking that comes up. I know the photographer before mentioned the idea that she does photography, and I know that's a huge photography experience, but I like to show kids just different stages of what happens with water. It's kind of like a law in physics for them, and educational for everyone.
Amy, that's awesome. Thanks so much for sharing that story. I think we've got time for one more caller. Let's go to Sue in St. Cloud. Sue, thanks for holding on.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, I can. What do you want to share?
Oh, I just want to share that I am a passionate cross-country skier and have been for many years. And I just want to say that the nature therapy and the de-stressing therapy has just been so key for me. I just retired recently, and I was a teacher for many years, and I'd just keep my skis in the back of the car, and on the after work, I'd go to this nice lighted ski area in St. Cloud and just get on those peaceful snow-covered trails and escape from all the stresses of the day. And it's just the most wonderful thing. It's for me, even at age 67, it's pain-free exercise, and the de-stressing and the joy of being in that perfect snow in a peaceful woods just can't be beat. And last year I even took up ski joring because I adopted a retired sled dog, and I had to try
Fantastic.
It. So now I'm doing ski joring with her.
Sue, that's terrific. I got to cut you off. We're running out of time, but thank you so much for sharing that. And Randy, I wanted to go to you just in a couple seconds. Sue spoke to that mental health aspect of this. Could you speak briefly to the benefits is that a big part of what draws you outside?
Oh, absolutely. I've built my life personally and professionally around water and wind and all the seasons that northern Minnesota brings. And so when you get outside and explore, you come back home a better person.
Randy, thank you so much. That's Randy Carlson. He's with the University of Minnesota Duluth Recreational Sports Outdoor Program. Also joining us this hour, Claire Wilson, Executive Director of the Lopit Foundation. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Dan Crocker, sitting in for Angela Davis here on NPR News.
Thanks for listening to a recording of my live radio show on NPR News. A reminder that if you want to catch my show in real time, tune in and call in weekdays at 9 a.m.